It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hour number three of the radio program is underway. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo on the ones and twos today. Should you wish to be a part of the program, multiple avenues for you to do that. The first is the renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone. We want you on the air. We like you on the air. We want you to be a part of the show. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE is the phone number. I blew that. That's on me. Text us on the text line, 71307.
Doing that thing that wrestlers do when they don't want to do the what thing, so they talk really fast so they the crowd can't what.
That is correct. The best way to handle that is to just keep talking so that there's absolutely nowhere for the crowd to hit the what chant, because if you take even the shortest of breaths in what you are saying, they're going to what over you, and if they what all over you, it's worse than getting yeeted on. You don't want to get yeeted on. You don't want to get whatted on. It'll ruin the promo you're trying to cut. Fans, I need you to stop with the what chant unless it is appropriate and against the heel. Do not do it against a pure all-American baby face like myself. Hey, America indeed. What do you say we talk some footy? Copa America got its start last night. It's not going to happen. You can Darby, you can Stone Cold, you can Rock, you can do whatever you want. It's not going to stop me, all right? Because those of us that are netheads, those of us that are footy followers, it's a very exciting time of the year. We got the Euros happening on the other side of the Atlantic. We got Copa America happening right now here, not just on this continent, but in our country. Very excited about it. And this Copa is massively important. I need you to stop doing the tango every time I say Copa, please. It's very distracting, all right? Although I very much want to take Lonzo to a salsa night now. Not like chips and dip, like the dance.
Hey, these hips are amazing, man. Just saying.
Lonzo's hips don't lie. Copa America's big for this U.S. men's national team, and I will give you the reason why. It is not just simply because I could be lazy and say, oh, it's all about figuring out if Greg is going to get his system ready for the World Cup in 2 years. Because, frankly, I'd like to stop being embarrassed is what I'd really like. I'd like to really stop being embarrassed by a team that should be exceptional, and most importantly, in the run of should be exceptional, should be in its golden era of footy right now. At least its golden era so far. The last time the U.S. was on the world stage was like in the 50s of like the 1900s, right? I'd like to stop being embarrassed with probably the largest wealth of talent that this country has produced on a pitch, maybe ever. Maybe ever. Talent-wise, this team should be better than the teams that we had with Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey and Tim Howard, et cetera, et cetera. Talent-wise, they should be better than that. But there have been some issues with this squad. there have been some issues, and I will give you one of them right out of the gate. Well, I won't. Hercules Gomez will. That's it. That's it. That's the take from Hercules Gomez. And this is one of the primary issues for those of us that have issues with Greg that we have. It is the fact that there is a wealth of talent on this team. And I will even give Greg a little bit of credit here and say that it seems like at a point in time where there has never been a deeper or better player pool than there is right now, it feels like there is a bit of an issue because we've got the guys that can play out wide. We've got the guys that can be facilitators through the middle. And some of those guys can score, without a doubt. But where's the guy that should score? Where's the guy that should score? We have been leaning on Christian Pulisic for a very long time. As you heard Hurt Gomez say there, Pulisic, no matter where he's been, Chelsea, AC Milan, it doesn't matter. Anywhere you put Pulisic, when you give him a number nine who is a threat, who is a danger, who can play the nine, we don't really have that guy right now. When you give that guy somebody that can play with a nine, it opens Christian Pulisic's game up so much because now not only is he not being leaned on to come up with goals for us, but on top of that, he's also not being hounded when he does have the ball, so scoring goals becomes easier for Christian Pulisic. Remember, go back to the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals. What was the problem that the Mavs had? The problem that the Mavs had, and it's not a problem all the time, but the better talent you play, the more it becomes a problem. The problem that the Mavs had, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, was that it was basically the Luka Doncic show. And if a team figured out how to slow down Luka Doncic, the Mavs got in trouble. The Timberwolves inconsistently did it. The Boston Celtics shine the brightest of light on that. I told you about the not just the moment in game one, but the moment later in the series when I realized this series is over before it even really got started, was because it became glaringly obvious that when Luka didn't have the ball, Boston was going to keep a good defensive player on him. Jaylen Brown was hounding Luka Doncic in this series. And I said that after, I think, game number two. I said, here's your problem. Jason Kidd has leaned on the let Luka do it offense. Luka's going to do Luka stuff, and then you guys fill in and help him do Luka stuff. And I said, after game two, it became very obvious that even though Luka's still going to get 25, 28, maybe 30 a game, Jaylen Brown or whoever's the Drew Holiday, whoever's the best defender on the floor, they're going to be up in Luka's grill the entire time. If Luka brings it up the floor, they're going to pick him up at the free throw line and stay in his back pocket the whole time. If Luka gets rid of the football, of the basketball at any point, they're going to stay locked up on him. So it's really tough for him to get the ball back. And when you do get it back to him, you get it back to a guy who is face guarded already, and likely you're going to be deeper in the shot clock. And because Doncic's game is to get the ball into the paint, slow down, let the offense develop, let the defense respond, and take what the defense gives to you. If Luka's getting the return pass with 7, 8, 9 seconds on the shot clock, he doesn't have time to run that offense. He's got to either go score or give it to somebody else real quick. Doesn't allow Dallas to do what Dallas does. And because of that, Boston just kind of collapsed Dallas. That's kind of what I'm worried about with Christian Pulisic, right? When Captain America is on the field for the United States, because he is the primary goal scorer, when he should be more of a facilitator role who can attack when the door opens, like Luka. If I am trying to draw up a tactical defense, That tactical defense is going to be, listen, when Pulisic ends up around the top of the 18-yard box, I want him marked. I want him locked down. Do not make it easy for him to get the ball. Do not make it easy for him to possess the ball. And do not make it easy for him to assist. But if you're going to give up one of those three, let him assist. Because there's really no other threat. And the fact is, Greg has been in charge of this program too long for us to not have found a true number nine. We are asking a group of wingers and a group of facilitating center mids, not really center attackers. We've asked them to carry the team. We've asked them to be the goal scorers. Now, there are some guys like Ricardo Pepi, guys like Josh Sargent, a little banged up right now, Jesus Ferreira, Haji Wright. These are all guys that I would like to see develop. But my question here is, can we blame this on the players not developing? Where's the spot where I say, hey, at some point I got to question the system? This is, to put it into context, for those of you that are listening and maybe not big soccer guys, or maybe you just dabble in it, maybe you don't care at all, I'll give you the comparison. The comparison is Clemson right now with the quarterback position. I heard a very interesting conversation yesterday from C-Money and the D-Train, Cole and Diesel, our co-parts in the afternoons. Cole asked the question, what's the legacy of Dabo Swinney if he just left today, right? If he just Thanos out of existence. Not got fired, not quit, just wasn't the coach anymore for no specific reason. Which I think was a good question, because Diesel said, I think the legacy of Dabo would largely be determined by how he left, whether he got fired or he retired. But Cole said, forget why he's gone. He's just gone. We don't know why. What's his legacy? And Cole had, I thought, a great answer. He said his legacy is with a legendary quarterback, an elite quarterback, a top-notch, a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, Dabo Swinney is a legend. Without him, he's a very good coach. You look at the last 2 years. Most of us would define Dabo as a very good coach, but he needs that top-flight quarterback. And that is exhibited by the fact that the departure of Sunshine, of TL16, after the departure, he's missed on two guys. He's missed on one guy and may or may not be missing on the other. He missed on DJ Uiagalelei. And the jury is very much out on Cade Klubnik, though I know a lot of Clemson fans have already given up on Cade Klubnik. It's kind of the same thing. You know, at some point,
same ones who gave up on DJ and will give up on whoever the next guy is.
Maybe so.
Unless they can find a Deshaun-like guy, a Sunshine-like guy. And I don't know. The current track record. This is what it was like at Clemson with Dabo before he found those two.
Absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely. And that is the exact comparison that I would throw at the U.S. men's national team when it comes to finding a striker. I would look at it and say, you know, you miss on a guy, you miss on a guy. You miss on two guys. Is that because you brought in back-to-back quarterbacks that couldn't get it done?
Yeah, but so can't they just pick from the pool of the entire country? I mean,
no. You can pick from the pool of guys that are American citizens or dual nationals who pick to play for the United States.
Okay, so they have to decide whether they want to play or not.
Yeah, let's say so. Like, I'll give you a couple of examples. There was a cat, and I forget his name, a couple of years ago, who was very highly touted and was expected to be the next big thing for Team USA. He was born in New Jersey, but his parents were both Italian. They moved here. Right? They immigrated here. So he was a dual national. He had Italian citizenship and American citizenship, and the U.S. was ready. Like, this was going to be our next big thing, and then he elected to go play for Italy. And it really put a can, like, put a kick in the can of the U.S. men's national team. So you can pick from the guys who are American citizens or duals that pick to play here. Number two, there are eligibility requirements. You can't just be like, oh, that guy. that guy. Number three, and I think that this does kind of hit on that point, much like we have said now with Dabo with back-to-back misses on quarterbacks, maybe a miss on Cade Klubnik, we'll find out. At some point, you've got to go, yo, this can't just be players don't develop. At some point, you got to go, is there something that you are missing in the recruiting of these players? And is there something lacking in the development of these players? And if so, that's a coaching problem. Well, I'm looking at the roster of guys that are expected to be number nines for the Americans. For those of you not soccer guys, number nine is usually considered your pure striker, your goal scorer, your number one guy up front.
So there's a guy. Is there a guy out there that you know for sure would be that guy who's not on the team?
Not for Copa. But again, I think that is, again, that's kind of the problem. We should have a guy. There should be a guy at all times, any tournament, any year, there should be a guy that American soccer fans look at and go, that's the guy. That's our nine. That's our best player. That's our striker. That's our goal scorer. That's our golden boot candidate right there. That's the guy that we should say is going to be competing in every tournament to win the golden boot, which is the award handed to the leading goal scorer in any given tournament. And we don't have that. And so at some point, it is fair to ask the question, is that not a little bit on Greg? Is it the fact that a country of 320 million people that is becoming more and more soccer focused, not centric, but focused over the years, just cannot produce one position? We can produce goaltenders. We can produce wingers. We can produce midfielders. But for whatever reason, we just cannot, in a country of 320 plus million people, we just cannot produce one striker. Just one guy that can go be that guy. We can produce some guys who can score goals, Pulisic, Weah, McKennie, Musa, etc. But we can't produce a number nine. Or take one of those guys and turn them into a number nine. Listen, the Copa roster, Brendan Aaronson, Valerian Balogun, Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Josh Sargent, Tim Weah, Haji Wright. Haji Wright could be that guy, has not developed. Tim Weah could be that guy, has not developed. Logan, I don't know. Really haven't got enough experience with him to say he is or is not that number nine. But if we have gone this long under the leadership of Greg, at some point, you've got to say the failure to develop that guy, the failure to find that guy, has got to be on the manager. Your system does not produce goal scorers, and this is wild. This is a soccer thought I've had for many years. If you can't score goals, you can't win soccer games.
That appears to be an accurate statement.
I know ball. Just one of many astute observations you will find here and only on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, shorter segment here because we got Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us in the next one, ordinarily on Thursdays, but had some meetings yesterday.
That's what he's calling it.
So he will join us today. Want to finish up real quick on this COPA stuff, and then we'll be done with soccer for the day. I promise. Hang in there. Because it is important. It is important for those of us that love this sport, and there are a lot and a growing number of us. Get used to it, my dudes.
There's at least 10.
There's at least 10. Two more sound bites for you. Another one from Hercules Gomez. One of the things that we have leaned on is the talent, right? This is as talented of a USMNT roster as has ever been sent to an international tournament. It does not have the accolades that some of the others do, but it is the most talented roster pool that the United States has ever had as a team. But there's the issue of playing that way, right? How many times have we seen, pick your sport, I don't care which one. How many times have we seen a team that has all the talent in the world, but they still stink? And they stink because they're not a team. They're a bunch of really good players, but they're not a team, right? I pointed at a couple of different ones over the last few segments. I've said a few times, I think my biggest issue with Greg-a-ga-ga-ga is that no matter how much talent we have, for whatever reason, we just cannot seem to play like it. No matter how much talent we have, we just cannot seem to get on the same page. We might have a day where the midfield and the forwards are playing excellent soccer, but the back line keeps exploding and giving away goals. Or we might have a game where the back line is actually in sync, setting excellent traps, etc. We just can't score a goal. How do we get on the same page? Hercules Gomez had something to say about that too. It is a different question. It is a different question. The last World Cup team, but the last World Cup run that we had with Dempsey, Donovan, Howard, etc., was a better team. It was a better team. Not more talented, but a better team. And so how do you bridge that gap? How do you take all this talent and get them on the same page? And for the record, I'm going to ask the question. I don't know that I have an answer to it. Right? And this is where my old favorite metaphor comes into place, because I get this all the time. Anytime that I say something negative, or this guy's got to go, or that's got to change, or whatever, almost inevitably you're going to get that one super big smart boy football fan, or basketball fan, or baseball fan that's going to push back and go, okay, but then what? I don't know. I don't know. It's not my job to figure that out. I can tell you what's wrong. I do not need to be a Michelin star certified chef to tell you that this plate of food stinks, right? I don't need to know how to grill the perfect steak to know that this one is burnt. I don't need to be able to go work the grill and come up with a 5-star dinner in order to tell you the one that you are giving me is not good. That's your job. The reason you are back there in the kitchen is because you are supposed to know how to plate a dinner that makes me want to pay $100 for it. That's your job, not mine. So when you don't do that, it is fair for me to criticize what you have done without being able to do better. But I don't have to do better because it's not my job. It's yours, right? Does that make sense? That metaphor makes perfect sense, right? Like it's a 10 of 10 metaphor. I don't need to be able to tell the chef what he's done wrong to tell him that he has done something wrong. Now, as far as his COPA, I've said a couple of times. To me, this is the most important soccer event that we've had in years. It is more important than the World Cup has been, right? The last World Cup was less important than this. Why? Because the last World Cup was full of a bunch of dudes that were in their first World Cup. The expectations weren't non-existent, but the expectations were not as high as they are for the next World Cup, especially a World Cup that we host. It's on our field. It's on our spot, right? It's in our position. So because of that, with the expectations being dramatically elevated in the next World Cup, You've got to work towards them here. Jurgen Klinsmann, former manager for the U.S. men's national team, and a guy that a lot of us, shockingly, would bring back if he replaced Greg-a-ga-ga-ga. Bingo. That's it. That's That's the take, 10 of 10, no notes for Jurgen Klinsmann. You have an opportunity here. And Gold Cups are important. You know, it's nice to win Gold Cups. Gold Cups predominantly between all the countries in the northern Americas. Gold Cups, spectacular. Importante. All right? Good to win them. Good to be in there, et cetera, et cetera. On the flip side, you get the South American teams. Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Panama, Brasilia. You get these teams coming up that are just better, and there's more depth to it. You know, Mexico is not the dynasty it used to be. Canada's good, but we should be better than Canada. The teams in the Caribbean out of CONCACAF, which is what the Gold Cup is, the teams out of the Caribbean are fine teams. Jamaica, Haiti, Dominican Republic. These are all fine teams, but, like, they're not top-notch, right? And at the end of the day, iron sharpens iron. You got to play the best to be the best. You got to beat the best to be the best. Woo! And this is our opportunity to do that. Going out and beating Costa Rica should be expected. It should happen. Not just going out and beating Costa Rica should be expected. Going out and beating Costa Rica by 5 should be expected. Every time out, we should be that dominant in CONCACAF. It should be. We should be to CONCACAF what the Chiefs have been to their division for the past few years. Just dominant. You come into the year knowing the Chiefs are winning that division. That's not a guess. They enter the year every year like minus 10,000 to win that division. So we should be the Chiefs to the AFC West of CONCACAF. It should just not be a question. In order to get there, you got to sharpen yourself. Having Brazil and Uruguay and Argentina and Chile and Panama coming to our house, coming here to play us in this type of tournament. This is how you learn who you are. You learn what's broke. You get it fixed so that in a couple of years, when we host the World Cup, we're ready. Not who's going to be our guy. We should know our guy. Who's going to be the 9? We should know the 9. What's Pulisic's role? We should know it already. All those things should be learned. We should know that. And this is the best opportunity to do so. That's what Jurgen Klinsmann said. Couldn't agree with him more. Sit tight. When we come back in a minute, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us. We'll talk some Carolina football with Rashad coming up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Well, welcome to the last two Fridays of my life. Rashad Beard's about to fall the hell out of his chair right now, catching the stray Rebecca Black for no reason. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, I was a little loud.
It was a little bit loud.
But that just shows how Friday it is.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. And now join. We usually are on Thursdays, but he was off on some top secret mission that he'd love to tell you about, but would have to kill you if he did. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast. Find them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. But more importantly, look them up on YouTube. Make sure you get subscribed. Hit the little smash that like button, I think is what the kids say nowadays. What up, Rashad? How we doing, big dog?
What's going on, man? Feeling good on this Rebecca Black Friday, man. That definitely caught me off guard. Haven't heard that song in a long time.
Zoe found that bed, man. And Rebecca Black has probably tripled her royalty payments over the past week and a half.
You're
that's
welcome.
A fact. Just off of that one play.
Just off that one play. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast. Again, make sure you look him up and follow them on YouTube. Spectacular show. Y'all gonna take a nap this week? Y'all been busy, Shot.
We haven't been too busy. This is, it's a bit of a slow news cycle with the training camp ending, mini camp into training camp. You got this long break. So we're working on some things, but it's a little bit quiet right now. I'm going to be honest, things about to ramp up. with the release of the training camp schedule and all that good excitement. We're excited about that. Well, I don't know if you guys are excited about that in that area, but we're definitely excited about it here in Charlotte. I wonder what's the vibe like with training camp, you know, being removed from that area. You guys getting good old
that was a hard jab, wasn't it?
It was. It was a little bit.
No, I'm legitimately curious. It's this is a serious question.
It's interesting because I think there was a pretty distinct connection between this area and the team with the training camp down here at Wofford, and when it went away. You know, there were a lot of people. Well, first off, the folks in Spartanburg real upset, which makes sense, right? Because when you had the camp there, you were bringing thousands of people from around the Carolinas down for 5, 6, 7, 8 days, hanging out, getting hotel rooms, spending time there, spending money in the Berg, and now that's all gone. There were businesses that probably utilized that 1 week a year to float a lot of the rest of the year, and that's just gone now. I will tell you that one of our previous hosts here on the station was making a push to effectively start a petition to just rename them the Charlotte Panthers. He's like, hey, look, clearly they care about Charlotte, and you should, right? Especially now with the news that Tep wants $600+ million for his stadium upgrades. It is very clear that this team, I'll put it this way, Rashad, no one down here believes the one team, two statement or two states, one team mentality anymore. That's gone now. There's still the pockets of goodwill. Folks still love the Panthers. But I think a lot of that connection to the team, that kind of personal connection, kind of poofed out of existence there.
Yeah, I think it's tough. You know, you had Jerry Richardson, who was a Wofford legend, right? And, you know, he had the tie to Wofford, and we held it there for some. I'm honestly surprised that Tepper kept training camp there as long as he did and didn't move it sooner, just because he basically removed everything tied to Jerry Richardson. So that was, you know, something that I saw coming. I thought it would happen sooner rather than later. But I mean, Clemson, you know, having the training camp fan fest in Clemson is interesting. Obviously, we started having our home games there first in Death Valley. And the word on the street was that, you know, we were going to have it in Columbia. And I'm not sure what happened with the change between Columbia and Clemson. But it's interesting. I mean, I think I don't know if it's sincere, but it is like, hey, kind of take this fan fest and be happy with it type thing. So I understand, you know, South Carolina and their displeasure with the Panthers right now. But hopefully it gets better, and hopefully Tepper finds another way to kind of appease our fans of South Carolina.
All right, let's talk about that money thing, because there was an article up earlier this week on Yahoo Sports, and you'll have to forgive me, I forget the name of who penned it. It's still up on their NFL page if you go look at the Carolina page. But they said something to the tune of, Rashad, the or else in give me my money or else is starting to look more real. And one of the first comments that popped up on that page that I found really interesting is, has David Tepper ever directly threatened to move the team or even really insinuated? I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't think I've really ever heard Tepper say anything that made me go, oh, damn, maybe he is thinking about it. And that's not to say he's not, but I think there's a lot of people that are kind of taking this hospitality tax payment to the Panthers as like a big threat. It doesn't feel that way to me.
No, it's not. And I'm here locally, and I understand it, right? David Tepper is a billionaire. He has the money, right? He doesn't technically need the money from Charlotte. I think he has like a net worth of $20 billion or something like that. So he doesn't need it. And people are saying, hey, okay, you know, he's already rich. We don't need to give the rich more money, right? So I get that. I understand that. And I also understand that David Tepper isn't the most popular person in the world, right? He has done some things to this team that haven't been the greatest. And for me, I've been the one leading the train as far as calling him out when he doesn't. I've been the most critical of David Tepper. There's been no podcaster on YouTube more critical than David Tepper than me, right? But I've never once ever heard him say he's going to move the Panthers. That never has been a thing. I don't know where that came from. He's always said, hey, I love it here. He brought soccer here. There's no indication that he's going to move the Carolina Panthers. So I don't know where this is coming from. And again, I get the hate, But there's that. I don't know where that's coming from. I think people are just saying that just to find something else to hate on about David Tepper.
That's the vibe that I've gotten as well. But I did find this story about the Chiefs kind of interesting. I don't know if you've seen this. Chiefs have been saying, hey, we want money to renovate Arrowhead. And, you know, as much as we don't want to, we might have to leave if we don't get it, which I think is a strong arm tactic. I don't think Kansas City's going anywhere. But immediately, Kansas State, who is, you know, obviously Kansas City is split between Missouri and Kansas. Kansas State started drafting a bill immediately saying, we'll give you your stadium. We'll give you the stadium. We'll give you the money for it. We'll build you the new stadium. You and the Royals come on over. And it's interesting, not to me, not because of the Chiefs, but it's interesting, Rashad, because it shows that there are still states and municipalities, as much as a lot of places are starting to push back on giving hundreds of millions of dollars to people who have hundreds of billions of dollars in the bank. There are still a lot of places that are willing to do that to get a pro team, which to me, even if Tep has never really directly threatened moving the team, I also don't know that anybody's ever made the approach of like, yeah, but like, what if you bring an NFL and an MLS team to us? It's got to be a thought, I guess, is what I'm saying here. Like, there's got to be some thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's economics, right? There's always going to be somebody looking to acquire that amount of income that's going to come with an NFL team and an MLS team. Right. So that's just bait. There's always going to be that threat. And so he doesn't have to say it. Right. He doesn't have to publicly say I'm going to move the team, because there's always going to be somebody willing to go out there and say, hey, we'll give you the money you're looking for. So, again, I think that, you know, I love the Panthers. I would hate to see them leave. I don't think there's been any indication that's ever going to happen. But shout out to Tepper, man. I think he's doing a good job. Listen, I'll call him out when he needs to be called out. But this whole situation with the renovations and the training facility and all that, he's doing a good job. I'm not mad at it. The Rock Hill thing kind of went sour, but he's doing a decent job. I'm assuming the business side, he's doing the best that he can.
By the way, I went and looked it up. We talked about the fan fest happening in Clemson, not in Columbia. I think it is because 2 days after that fan fest, there's a Premier League soccer game. Manchester United and I think Liverpool are playing there 2 days later. So my bet is they just don't want anybody down on the pitch, because that game's got to look real good on TV. That game's worth a ton of money. So that's going to be my guess on that. Let's get to a couple of other things. We've heard a lot of chirp, a lot of talk about Bryce Young. I know you and I have just addressed this a number of times. Pretty much it feels like a weekly basis at this point. But there was an article up on Yahoo Sports earlier this month that talked about the development of BY as a leader. Not as quarterback, but as a leader, as a guy who feels a lot more comfortable. We knew that. Dave Canales has told us 100 times. It is about driving down on the things that BY does know, making that a big part of the game while developing the stuff he's not as good at. Have you heard any stories? Are there any talks, any talk about town about BY as a leader, a dude, not just a ball handler?
Yeah, no, I think you recently heard Adam Thielen come out and talk about Bryce as a leader and talking about how more comfortable he is right now and how they're getting together on a more personal level, talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves, because, you know, Adam Thielen is a Timberwolves fan. So I think that connection, that leadership connection between Bryce Young and his receivers is starting to come along. You even hear about Deontay Johnson talk about, you know, Bryce Young and how he wants to be there for him. I think they're starting to gel a little bit here. I think there was a lot that came with Bryce Young in his rookie season. He was dealing with a lot. There's a lot to overcome that rookie season. And so maybe he was just kind of going through the motions, but now it's starting to kind of click and, hey, I got to be a leader. But at the end of the day, you know, I've said this on this show multiple times. I think it's got to come together on the field in order for us to really make this thing click. It all sounds good on paper and in the locker room, rah, rah. Hey, go Bryce. But until that rubber hits the road, we're going to have to see it. We're going to have to see it. And I'm hopeful. And again, everything's trending in the right direction. There's no indication where I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. I'm still in on Bryce. I think he can do it. I think he can lead this team to a solid season, and then we'll build on it next year. But I'm happy with the progression with Bryce. It definitely feels a little bit different right now. And hopefully we can put it together during the season.
One of the names I've seen popped up a bunch of times on Reddit right now, there's a thread of Carolina Panther fans that are given their in-season projections, not in terms of win-loss totals, but for individual guys. One of the names that has popped up a lot of times is John Mingo. And there's been conversation about, is he going to cut it? Is he going to make the cut? Can he break out this year now that he's got some time and familiarity? I think like every other young cat, and I've talked about this, I don't think you can put into words how detrimental to the development of a young player a bad coach can be. Urban Meyer, Jacksonville is the primary example. But then you look at Carolina, you had two in a row between Matt Rhule and Frank Reich. That is horrendous for the development of a young player. I think it's true about Bryce Young. John Mingo's another name there, that the projections varied from guys who said he won't make it to the season. He'll get cut. He'll get let go before that, to guys that have said, now that there's consistency and a coach that understands an offense and a quarterback who feels a lot more confident, John Mingo can have a breakout season this year. Through what we've seen so far, what are your takes on that, Cat? Can he be a participant? Can he be a playmaker this year?
I certainly hope so, but it definitely feels a little Terrace Marshall-ish, right? You know, same, very similar situation with Terrace Marshall, where we drafted him and the coaching never clicked. I'm still a believer of Terrace Marshall. I believe if Terrace Marshall went to a team like the Bengals or something like that, where he has a connection with Joe Burrow, I think he could be a very good player. However, the things just did not click in enough time. And now he's on his contract year, and it kind of is what it is. I think he's not going to make it onto the regular season roster. Same thing goes for Jonathan Mingo. I think while Mingo's only in his sophomore season, I think if things don't click well with this coaching staff and they don't develop him, which I think they will, right? This coaching staff, Kanellis, Izik, those guys are wide receiver coaches, right? They know how to develop wide receivers. We talk about Mike Evans, DK Metcalf, those, and he's got that body type. He's a bigger wide receiver. So I'm hopeful that the coaching staff will be able to get the best out of these guys. However, I'm not too worried, because guess what? There's a lot of talent behind those guys. When you talk about, there's a lot of like underrated talent. We talked about Coker. We talked about Pickney. We talked about Strong. There's a lot of underrated wide receivers. Not only did we just drafted Xavier Leggett. So there's a lot of underrated guys that could, hey, pop up, and we could care less about Mingo. So hopefully that's the case. We'll see what happens. But go Mingo. I hope he does develop, because I think he's got some talent.
All right, one more, and then we'll let you go. Rashad Beard, talk to me about XL. I know he had the hammy injury, cost him a handful of days out on the football field working out with the boys, but also did get a couple of days in before that happened. We all know Xavier Leggett's a damn media superstar right now. All right, he's like the NFL's favorite player at this point. Between him and Keon Coleman taking the world by storm, I love both these cats immeasurably. As a football player, what have we seen out of XL so far? Has he justified yet? I know you can't really do it until the season starts, but right. Has he calmed people down to believe that the trade up and the move to get him was justified?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that calming of the nerves is going to happen until we see it. And I think it's going to take the entire season for him to show that. However, I do love the work that he's putting in. I mean, he's putting in a lot of work. You see the videos of Deontay Johnson that are going out. You see similar videos of Xavier Leggett working out. I know he tweaked the hammy, and I know they're kind of taking it slow with him. It's unfortunate that he did miss those reps during minicamp, but I firmly believe, again, it all goes back to coaching, right? That we get stuck on the individual talent and how these guys are going to develop individually, but it takes that development from the coaching. And I hope that the coaching will get the best out of Leggett. I think he's got it. I think he's going to offer some ability in the return game as well. So I'm excited about XL. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm hopeful to see it. And I hopefully he will justify that move up and into the second and make a lot of guys feel a lot better about it.
Rashad Beard, one half of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go to their YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to it and hit that bell notification, because they go live like all the damn time. What you guys got coming up, big dog?
Yeah, a little after lunchtime today, I will be talking about training camp. The training camp schedules come out. There's some little nuances in there that you need to watch out for. Ticketing, all the stuff. The way the setup is going to be a lot different. It's going to go down at the Panthers training facility. So it's a lot different. So I'm going to be breaking down all that stuff lunchtime today. You grab your lunch. You know what I mean? Come to the channel. Check it out.
You going to let me crash if I come up for training camp?
Come through.
Yeah, my guy, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Again, make sure you follow them on YouTube. Get liked up. Phenomenals. It is without a doubt my number one go-to for Panthers talk. My man, appreciate you, big dog. Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
See you next week. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Swinging by, and he got up out of here before he got his last Rebecca Black on the way out the door.
I should have been quicker on that.
He was like, I'm out. Yeah. See you later.
Well, he's going to be back at lunch. So
he's got, that's true.
He needs a shower. He just ran. He just said he popped in after he just went for a run.
My man showed up sweaty, glistening.
That's it. Glistening.
Glistening.
Yes.
Rashad Beard. What a dude's the best. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got 1 hour of sports talk excellence. The most electrifying hour in sports talk entertainment comes up next. But before we get to that, let me give you the most electrifying 60 seconds in sports talk entertainment as you go one-on-one with the great one for this sports flash.
Hadn't played it in a while, and he's right. J.J. Redick will be the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, agreeing to a four-year contract. Financial terms of the agreement were not disclosed. Redick played 15 years in the league and has been working as an analyst for ESPN since his retirement. The Lakers say they'll surround Redick with a cast of experienced assistant coaches. Also in the NBA, moves are already being made. Guard Malik Monk was thought to be a prize free agent, but signed a four-year, $78 million deal to stay with the Kings. The Bulls and Thunder made...
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, welcome to the last two Fridays of my life. Rashad Beard's about to fall the hell out of his chair right now, catching the stray Rebecca Black for no reason. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, I was a little loud.
It was a little bit loud.
But that just shows how Friday it is.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. And now join... We usually are on Thursdays, but he was off on some top secret mission that he'd love to tell you about, but would have to kill you if he did. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast. Find them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. But more importantly, look them up on YouTube. Make sure you get subscribed. Hit the little smash that like button, I think is what the kids say nowadays. What up, Rashad? How we doing, big dog?
What's going on, man? Feeling good on this Rebecca Black Friday, man. That definitely caught me off guard. Haven't heard that song in a long time.
Zoe found that bed, man. And Rebecca Black has probably tripled her royalty payments over the past week and a half.
You're welcome.
That's a fact. Just off of that one play.
Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast. Again, make sure you look him up and follow them on YouTube. Spectacular show. Y'all gonna take a nap this week? Y'all been busy, Shot.
We haven't been too busy. This is, it's a bit of a slow news cycle with the training camp ending, mini camp into training camp. You got this long break. So we're working on some things, but it's a little bit quiet right now. I'm going to be honest. Things about to ramp up with the release of the training camp schedule and all that good excitement. We're excited about that. Well, I don't know if you guys are excited about that in that area, but we're definitely excited about it here in Charlotte. I wonder what's the vibe like with training camp, you know, being removed from that area. You guys getting good old
That was a hard jab, wasn't it?
It was. It was a little bit.
No, I'm legitimately curious. It's this serious question.
It's interesting because I think there was a pretty distinct connection between this area and the team with the training camp down here at Wofford, and when it went away. You know, there were a lot of people. Well, first off, the folks in Spartanburg real upset, which makes sense, right? Because when you had the camp there, you were bringing thousands of people from around the Carolinas down for 5, 6, 7, 8 days, hanging out, getting hotel rooms, spending time there, spending money in the Berg, and now that's all gone. There were businesses that probably utilized that 1 week a year to float a lot of the rest of the year, and that's just gone now. I will tell you that one of our previous hosts here on the station was making a push to effectively start a petition to just rename them the Charlotte Panthers. He's like, hey, look, clearly they care about Charlotte. And you should, right? Especially now with the news that Tep wants $600+ million for his stadium upgrades. It is very clear that this team, the I'll put it this way, Rashad. No one down here believes the one team, two statement or two states, one team mentality anymore. That like that's gone now. There's still the pockets of goodwill. Folks still love the Panthers, but I think a lot of that connection to the team, that kind of personal connection, kind of poofed out of existence there.
Yeah, I think it's tough. You know, you had Jerry Richardson, who was a Wofford legend, right? And you know, he had the tie to Wofford, and we held it there for some. I'm honestly surprised that Tepper kept training camp there as long as he did and didn't move it sooner, just because he basically removed everything tied to Jerry Richardson. So that was, you know, something that I saw coming. I thought it would happen sooner rather than later. But I mean, Clemson, you know, having the training camp fan fest in Clemson is interesting. Obviously, we started having our home games there first in Death Valley. And the word on the street was that, you know, we were going to have it in Columbia. And I'm not sure what happened with the change between Columbia and Clemson. But it's interesting. I mean, I think I don't know if it's sincere, but it is like, hey, kind of take this fan fest and be happy with it type thing. So I understand, you know, South Carolina and their displeasure with the Panthers right now. But hopefully it gets better, and hopefully Tepper finds another way to kind of appease our fans of South Carolina.
All right, let's talk about that money thing, because there was an article up earlier this week on Yahoo Sports, and you'll have to forgive me, I forget the name of who penned it. It's still up on their NFL page if you go look at the Carolina page. But they said something to the tune of, Rashad, the or else in give me my money or else is starting to look more real. And one of the first comments that popped up on that page that I found really interesting is, has David Tepper ever directly threatened to move the team or even really insinuated? I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't think I've really ever heard Tepper say anything that made me go, oh, damn, maybe he is thinking about it. And that's not to say he's not, but I think there's a lot of people that are kind of taking this hospitality tax payment to the Panthers as like a big threat. It doesn't feel that way to me.
No, it's not. And I'm here locally, and I understand it, right? David Tepper is a billionaire. He has the money, right? He doesn't technically need the money from Charlotte. I think he has like a net worth of $20 billion or something like that. So he doesn't need it. And people are saying, hey, okay, you know, he's already rich. We don't need to give the rich more money, right? So I get that. I understand that. And I also understand that David Tepper isn't the most popular person in the world, right? He has done some things to this team that haven't been the greatest. And for me, I've been the one leading the train as far as calling him out when he doesn't. I've been the most critical of David Tepper. There's been no podcaster on YouTube more critical than David Tepper than me, right? But I've never once ever heard him say he's going to move the Panthers. That never has been a thing. I don't know where that came from. He's always said, hey, I love it here. He brought soccer here. There's no indication that he's going to move the Carolina Panthers. So I don't know where this is coming from. And again, I get the hate, but there's that. I don't know where that's coming from. I think people are just saying that just to find something else to hate on about David Tepper.
That's the vibe that I've gotten as well. But I did find this story about the Chiefs kind of interesting. I don't know if you've seen this. Chiefs have been saying, hey, we want money to renovate Arrowhead. And, you know, as much as we don't want to, we might have to leave if we don't get it, which I think is a strong arm tactic. I don't think Kansas City's going anywhere, but immediately Kansas State, who is, you know, obviously Kansas City is split between Missouri and Kansas. Kansas State started drafting a bill immediately saying, we'll give you your stadium. We'll give you the stadium. We'll give you the money for it. We'll build you in the new stadium. You and the Royals come on over. And it's interesting, not to me, not because of the Chiefs, but it's interesting, Rashad, because it shows that there are still states and municipalities, as much as a lot of places are starting to push back on giving hundreds of millions of dollars to people who have hundreds of billions of dollars in the bank, there are still a lot of places that are willing to do that, to get a pro team, which to me, even if Tep has never really directly threatened moving the team, I also don't know that anybody's ever made the approach of like, yeah, but like, what if you bring an NFL and an MLS team to us? It's got to be a thought, I guess, is what I'm saying here. Like, there's got to be some thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's economics, right? There's always going to be somebody looking to acquire that amount of income that's going to come with an NFL team and an MLS team, right? So that's just bait. There's always going to be that threat. And so he doesn't have to say it, right? He doesn't have to publicly say, I'm going to move the team, because there's always going to be somebody willing to go out there and say, hey, we'll give you the money you're looking for. So again, I think that, you know, I love the Panthers. I would hate to see them leave. I don't think there's been any indication that's ever going to happen. But shout out to Tepper, man. I think he's doing a good job. Listen, I'll call him out when he needs to be called out. But this whole situation with the renovations and the training facility and all that, he's doing a good job. I'm not mad at it. The Rock Hill thing kind of went sour, but he's doing a decent job. I'm assuming the business side, he's doing the best that he can.
By the way, I went and looked it up. We talked about the fan fest happening in Clemson, not in Columbia. I think it is because 2 days after that fan fest, there's a Premier League soccer game. Manchester United and I think Liverpool are playing there 2 days later. So my bet is they just don't want anybody down on the pitch, because that game's got to look real good on TV. That game's worth a ton of money. So that's going to be my guess on that. Let's get to a couple of other things. We've heard a lot of chirp, a lot of talk about Bryce Young. I know you and I have just addressed this a number of times. Pretty much it feels like a weekly basis at this point. But there was an article up on Yahoo Sports earlier this month that talked about the development of BY as a leader. Not as quarterback, but as a leader, as a guy who feels a lot more comfortable. We knew that. Dave Canales has told us 100 times. It is about driving down on the things that BY does know, making that a big part of the game while developing the stuff he's not as good at. Have you heard any stories? Are there any talk about town about BY as a leader, a dude, not just a ball handler?
Yeah, no, I think you recently heard Adam Thielen come out and talk about Bryce as a leader and talking about how more comfortable he is right now and how they're getting together on a more personal level, talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves, because, you know, Adam Thielen is a Timberwolves fan. So I think that connection, that leadership connection between Bryce Young and his receivers is starting to come along. You even hear about Deontay Johnson talk about, you know, Bryce Young and how he wants to be there for him. I think they're starting to gel a little bit here. I think there was a lot that came with Bryce Young in his rookie season. He was dealing with a lot. There's a lot to overcome that rookie season. And so maybe he was just kind of going through the motions, but now it's starting to kind of click and, hey, I got to be a leader. But at the end of the day, you know, I've said this on this show multiple times, I think it's got to come together on the field in order for us to really make this thing click. It all sounds good on paper and in the locker room, rah, rah. Hey, go Bryce. But until that rubber hits the road, we're going to have to see it. We're going to have to see it. And I'm hopeful. And again, everything's trending in the right direction. There's no indication where I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. I'm still in on Bryce. I think he can do it. I think he can lead this team to a solid season, and then we'll build on it next year. But I'm happy with the progression with Bryce. It definitely feels a little bit different right now. And hopefully we can put it together during the season.
One of the names I've seen popped up a bunch of times on Reddit right now, there's a thread of Carolina Panther fans that are given their in-season projections, not in terms of win-loss totals, but for individual guys. One of the names that has popped up a lot of times is John Mingo. And there's been conversation about, is he going to cut it? Is he going to make the cut? Can he break out this year now that he's got some time and familiarity? I think like every other young cat, and I've talked about this, I don't think you can put into words how detrimental to the development of a young player a bad coach can be. Urban Meyer, Jacksonville is the primary example. But then you look at Carolina, you had two in a row between Matt Rhule and Frank Reich. That is horrendous for the development of a young player. I think it's true about Bryce Young. John Mingo's another name there that the projections varied from guys who said he won't make it to the season. He'll get cut. He'll get let go before that, to guys that have said, now that there's consistency and a coach that understands an offense and a quarterback who feels a lot more confident, John Mingo can have a breakout season this year through what we've seen so far. What are your takes on that, Kat? Can he be a participant? Can he be a playmaker this year?
I certainly hope so, but it definitely feels a little Terrace Marshall-ish, right? You know, same, very similar situation with Terrace Marshall, where we drafted him and the coaching never clicked. I'm still a believer of Terrace Marshall. I believe if Terrace Marshall went to a team like the Bengals or something like that, where he has a connection with Joe Burrow, I think he could be a very good player. However, the things just did not click in enough time. And now he's on his contract year, and it kind of is what it is. I think he's not going to make it onto the regular season roster. Same thing goes for Jonathan Mingo. I think while Mingo's only in his sophomore season, I think if things don't click well with this coaching staff and they don't develop him, which I think they will, right? This is this coaching staff, Kanellis, Izik, those guys are wide receiver coaches, right? They know how to develop wide receivers. We talk about Mike Evans, DK Metcalf, those, and he's got that body type. He's a bigger wide receiver. So I'm hopeful that the coaching staff will be able to get the best out of these guys. However, I'm not too worried, because guess what? There's a lot of talent behind those guys. When you talk about, there's a lot of like underrated talent. We talked about Coker. We talked about Pickney. We talked about Strong. There's a lot of underrated wide receivers. Not only did we just drafted Xavier Leggett. So there's a lot of underrated guys that could, hey, pop up, and we could care less about Mingo. So hopefully that's the case. We'll see what happens. But go Mingo. I hope he does develop, because I think he's got some talent.
All right, one more, and then we'll let you go. Rashad Beard, talk to me about XL. I know he had the hammy injury, cost him a handful of days out on the football field working out with the boys, but also did get a couple of days in before that happened. We all know Xavier Leggett's a damn media superstar right now. All right, he is like the NFL's favorite player at this point. Between him and Keon Coleman taking the world by storm, I love both these cats immeasurably. As a football player, what have we seen out of XL so far? Has he justified yet? I know you can't really do it until the season starts, but right. Has he calmed people down to believe that the trade up and the move to get him was justified?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that calming of the nerves is going to happen until we see it. And I think it's going to take the entire season for him to show that. However, I do love the work that he's putting in. I mean, he's putting in a lot of work. You see the videos of Deontay Johnson that are going out. You see similar videos of Xavier Leggett working out. I know he tweaked the hammy, and I know they're kind of taking it slow with him. It's unfortunate that he did miss those reps during minicamp, but I firmly believe, again, it all goes back to coaching, right? That we get stuck on the individual talent and how these guys are going to develop individually, but it takes that development from the coaching. And I hope that the coaching will get the best out of Leggett. I think he's got it. I think he's going to offer some ability in the return game as well. So I'm excited about XL. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm hopeful to see it. And I hopefully he will justify that move up and into the second and make a lot of guys feel a lot better about it.
Rashad Beard, one half of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go to their YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to it and hit that bell notification, because they go live like all the damn time. What you guys got coming up, big dog?
Yeah, a little after lunchtime today, I will be talking about training camp. The training camp schedules come out. There's some little nuances in there that you need to watch out for. Ticketing, all the stuff. The way the setup is going to be a lot different. It's going to go down at the Panthers training facility. So it's a lot different. So I'm going to be breaking down all that stuff lunchtime today. You grab your lunch. You know what I mean? Come to the channel. Check it out.
You going to let me crash if I come up for training camp?
Come through.
Yeah, my guy, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Again, make sure you follow them on YouTube. Get liked up. Phenomenals. It is without a doubt my number one go-to for Panthers talk. My man, appreciate you, big dog. Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
See you next week. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Swinging by, and he got up out of here before he got his last Rebecca Black on the way out the door.
I should have been quicker on that.
He was like, I'm out. Yeah. See you later.
Well, he's going to be back at lunch. So
he's got, that's true.
He needs a shower. He just ran. He just said he popped in after he just went for a run.
My man showed up sweaty, glistening.
That's it. Glistening.
Glistening.
Yes.
Rashad Beard. Dude's the best. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got one out of sports talk excellence. The most electrifying hour in sports talk entertainment comes up next. But before we get to that, let me give you the most electrifying 60 seconds in sports talk entertainment as you go one-on-one with the great one for this sports flash.
Hadn't played it in a while, and he's right. J.J. Redick will be the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, agreeing to a four-year contract. Financial terms of the agreement were not disclosed. Redick played 15 years in the league and has been working as an analyst for ESPN since his retirement. The Lakers say they'll surround Redick with a cast of experienced assistant coaches. Also in the NBA, moves are already being made. Guard Malik Monk was thought to be a prize free agent, but signed a four-year, $78 million deal to stay with the Kings. The Bulls and Thunder made a deal that will send all defensive team guard Alex Caruso to Oklahoma City in return for guard Josh Giddey. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. And you guessed it, it's all Wire to Wire.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.